Certainly good to be gathered together with you today, all you brothers and sisters in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's great to be come together in a place where prayers want to be made. What does that mean? That means that there was a mindset there that had a desire to pray, had a desire toward prayer. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Yeah. What was the mindset of Christ? The mindset of our Lord was continuously to do the will of the Father that had sent Him. That should be our mindset. That should be our determination by the Lord's help and grace that we would endeavor to be obedient unto our blessed Lord. And to do so, we must be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I want to read just real quickly 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What a great admonition that we have here, the Apostle Paul instructing his son in the ministry, Timothy, and it is good admonition for us, and that emphasis there is, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The only way that we're going to be strong is in God's grace and in the power and the might of God. Amen. Our dependency is in the Lord. We're no more than other men except that God has placed within us of His Spirit and of His new creation whereby we have the ability and the enablement to rise above that other men cannot rise above and seek the face of God and stand strong in the omnipotent power of God in His grace, in His power, and in His might. Now, I want to direct your attention to the Ephesian letter, very familiar verses of Scripture in the 6th chapter. The Apostle Paul has written, and of course remember it was the translators that divided the letters up into the chapters and the verses and so forth for references. It was written as one continuous letter. But the first part of the letter, chapter 1, chapter 2, is teaching us of the very sovereignty of God, the power of God, and what God has done in being pleased to elect and to choose out a people out of the human family and to do what was necessary to make it that they would live with Him in heaven and immortal glory. As we come then toward the end of this chapter, we see this word in the 10th verse of chapter 6, just before he goes into and gives the instructions about putting on the whole armor of God. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, to me, this is a companion verse to the first verse that I had just read from the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. This is a companion verse that the Apostle Paul pins down here in the Ephesian letter. You're going to find throughout the epistles, the letters of the writings of the Apostle Paul to the churches and to second generation ministers such as Timothy and Titus and others, you're going to hear some of the same wording and same expressions. Why? Because the Apostle Paul, he wrote what he preached and he preached what he wrote and he never changed the message and it was consistent and it was always the same. Oh, I tell you, This is one thing that we need, brothers and sisters, is to be consistent, amen, in our theology. Be consistent in our doctrine, in our teaching, in our expressions of God's precious word, to be consistent in it. From the front of the book to the back of the book, a systematic, consistent theology, amen, is taught throughout God's word. Truth builds upon truth, amen, and it stands as one towering pillar, and it stands upon the foundation of God Himself, who is the truth, and who is the way, who is the very life. Aren't we thankful for that this morning? I'm thankful. Amen. If not deceived, and I believe that I do, I feel His very presence, amen, here this morning, and meeting with us. The Lord has promised, where two or three meet together in His name, there He will be in the midst of them. Amen. I know in the context where it's at in Matthew chapter 18, and it's there in the context of where the Lord teaches us of how to deal and how to do. There in that Pacific context. But that principle is true no matter where and no matter what. Amen. That when a few of God's believing children will gather together in His name for the sole purpose, as our brother did say, to worship Him in spirit and truth, He will give of His heartfelt presence and bless our very efforts together. Now, a lot of times, and we could go on here and we could read about putting on the whole armor of God. But my thoughts this morning want to channel around and center around the thought about the power and the might of God. I guess in one way this would be a companion discourse to the discourse that our dear Elder Hartrow preached last Sunday about the dominion of Christ, the sovereignty of Christ. I've been feasting on that, amen, all this week. And I'm so thankful for that, and I believe it. Amen. And the reason that it is so is because it is within God Himself. God is total solidarity. Amen. God is complete. He is full. He has to go nowhere but Himself. Amen. To bring about and to do what He has purposed. Amen. To do. What does that mean? That means that God has the power. He has the might. Amen. He has the ability to perform that which pleases Him. Our God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. These false gods, men have to carry them around. They don't have any feet. They can't walk. Men have to extend their hands. They don't have hands. Amen. That's false gods. Brother Ricky Well explained that last Sunday. Amen. I want to tell you, our God has feet and He has hands. I've thought about that a lot too, Brother Ricky. Amen. And He, amen, walks. Matter of fact, amen, He has the ability to sit. He sits upon the circle of the flood, amen, of the earth. And I tell you, I believe if I had a father that could see it on the flood, I believe I could walk on the water. Amen. A son that walked on the water. He has a son that walked on the water. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great God we serve. Now, sometimes, and I've heard it explained like this, that the word finally is there because it is coming down to the conclusion of this letter, and that this is the last thought that the Apostle Paul is going to make in this letter. I'm not going to argue with folks that want to approach it from that standpoint, but I've got just a little bit different, amen, approach to it than that, because when you look up in the lexicon about this word, and I don't mean to get in, I certainly don't know Hebrew and Greek no more than what I look up, amen, and try to find out and try to discover and try to understand. But what I find in searching and looking is that this word finally, it has the meaning of hereafter. discipleship. Amen. In order to have victorious discipleship, in order to walk in a way of discipleship, to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way that we're going to do that is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, that's the starting point of discipleship. Now, you're going to have to be strong. Somebody said, well, I thought water baptism was. Well, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord, amen, in His power and in His might, to ever overcome yourself and to humble yourself and submit yourself to be baptized in water. Amen. So you see, there's no differing there. Amen. Baptism, it is an act. It is a righteous act. It is a work. Amen. It is a work of faith. And the only way that we're going to do that good work of faith is to be strong in the power and in the might of God. Amen. Your little frivolous self, you were shaking, trembling, holding to the pew. You were finding all kind of excuses. You had overcome those things and come down the aisle and ask for a home in the church by being strong in the grace of God, by being strong, amen, in the power of God and in the might of God. So I submit unto you this word finally, amen, it's looking there forward, and it is a starting point and in a way of discipleship. If we are going to be a successful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. That's why he goes on from that standpoint when he's introducing, amen, this teaching of the whole armor of God. Why do you think he starts out with verse 10 before he goes into verse 11 with the teaching of putting on the whole armor of God? Because you can't put on the whole armor of God in your ability. You can't put on the whole armor of God, amen, from your standpoint and using natural things and the innovations that man is used to using in nature and so forth. Whatever your profession is, there are techniques and there are traits and characteristics and there's training and there's design in order for you to be successful in that career or in that occupation that you're engaged in. I tell you, for us, amen, to be engaged in that in discipleship, amen, it's going to have to be from that standpoint, amen, of finally, amen, of looking forward, of realizing the standpoint right there, amen, is for us to have our life founded and centered, amen, and trusting in the power and in the might of Almighty God. And until we realize that, and until we approach it from that standpoint, when we won't have victorious discipleship, we'll just be constantly defeated. Right. We'll just be constantly struggling and backing up and faltering and faltering. In this also I'm talking about maturing, growing up from babes and maturing, amen, in the things of God. And the only way that we're going to do that is in the power and in the might of God. To these things that I'm saying to you this morning. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Amen.
That word power there means force. Amen. Force. Be strong in the force of God. Amen. Friend, I want to tell you that God's power, God's force is prevailing. Amen. God's power. You see, philosophy encounters two opposing forces. And the force that is stronger, amen, is the force that overcomes the other force. Oh, we have forces out here in the world. We have an adversary. We have an enemy. Amen. Who gospel of the kingdom preached, and every man presseth into it. There is a pressing in order to enter into the spiritual experience of the kingdom of God. There's a denying of self. There's a self-sacrificing. There is a lowering of self. There is a humbling of self. Amen. And there then is that which we have to press against these forces that I have just mentioned. And we are not able to do so from our puny ability. But we are more than overcomers through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we've got to be strong in His power, in His force, and in His might. So here this word power is speaking of force. This word might here is speaking of ability. Notice this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, amen, of His might, in His force, and His ability. God has all ability to perform and to do what He pleases and what He has purposed. So in order for us to adhere to and to heed the exhortations and the admonitions of God's Word, then we're going to have to be strong in our Lord's force and in His ability. Because we don't have the ability in and of ourselves. Our ability comes from the Lord. And then now, I believe first and foremost, a person has to be born of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And God has to work within them the to will and the to do. Yeah. Amen. There, in that, that's the first thing of the groundwork or the foundation of ability. Amen. Because before that, you don't have any ability. Amen. To overcome. Man cannot, in a sinful, corrupt nature, reach down and pull himself up by the bootstraps. And then He's given us His Word to teach us, amen, how to act in that, how to flow in that, how to use that,
yeah,
amen, to the honor and to the glory of God. Oh, I tell you, where so many folks out here in orders of people under the umbrella of Christianity, and that's about the only way I can express in talking about those that call upon the name of God, you know, and in other ways, in other areas and so forth. But what they do, they just confuse everything, and not to separate and to rightly divide, they just place all of this and all of these scriptures that teach to do something. They just acquaint it with eternal salvation and don't make the distinction. The Bible is full of verses that teaches us to do.
Yeah.
Amen. It teaches us about the ability and about discipleship. There's a big difference between sonship and discipleship.
Amen.
Amen. Until God's people understand that, they'll be most confused.
Yeah.
Be most confused until they understand the difference between sonship and discipleship.
Yeah.
Amen. You first, amen, have to be made a son. Now I know in His mind and purpose, He purposed to save. God didn't save before the foundation of the world. He purposed to save. Amen. We are sons in His mind and purpose, but He makes us sons, amen, in regeneration.
Amen.
And we need to always remember that. Somebody said that's splitting hairs. Well, that's a hair that needs split.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a hair that needs split. We need to make that distinction. Let us notice this, that our Lord is omnipotent. He has all power. He has all force. He has all might. He is able. He is able. There's so many verses and companion text. I just decided to try them for the sake of time. Where to go and what to look to. But I did want to get this expression in that's found in Matthew chapter 28. And our Lord is here at the end of His timely mission here upon this earth that He came to do. He's already been crucified. He's already laid down His life in the context of being put to death. And you know, our people a few years ago got so hung up on that. And you know, whether He laid His life down or whether He's put to death. And tried to, you know, divide up over that. The Word of God teaches both. Amen. He was put to death. And in that context of being put to death, amen, they killed the Prince of Life. He laid down His life. They'd never kill Him if He hadn't have laid it down. Amen. Amen. No, they wouldn't have. But we must not run off on a tangent. You know, usually between two extremes, lie is truth.
Right.
Always remember that. Usually between two extreme measures or two extreme beliefs, usually the right way and the truth of the matter is in the middle. But nevertheless, right here, our Lord has already showed Himself openly for 40 days, and He's coming right here to the end when He's going to be caught back up in the cloud and appearing out of their sight and received back into heaven. Before He goes away, it says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now here, friend, I want to give you an example. This word power here is used in the sense, amen, of authority. Amen. It is force. Because He has overcome, and there's no other force, there's no other power, no other authority. He has been given all power, all authority, all force. He is omnipotent. Amen. His Heavenly Father, He has a name that is above every name. He's a name. The Lord Jesus Christ has been given whereby men, amen, are saved at the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ. And so Jesus here makes this in an affirmative statement and says, all power, all authority, all force, all might, all ability is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And He must reign until the last enemy is destroyed, until it's put under His feet, and that last enemy will be dead. And that'll be taken care of, amen, in the resurrection. Hebrews 2:14, amen, teaches us that He's already got the power over him that had the power before. Amen. Over Satan himself, amen, through the obedience and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And that He did, in accomplishing that He accomplished, He has the power over death, over the one.
Yeah.
You know, those keys represent authority.
Yeah.
Amen. You got the keys to something, you got the authority to it.
Yeah.
Amen. You got the authority to it. Well, yes, our Lord has the keys. He has the keys to death. He has the keys to hell. And then He shows that He has the power. And the throne of God is vindicated. Amen. Because Jesus did what was necessary. We see even before the Lord's crushing of Satan's head and defeating him. Even before that, He called forth and said, Lazarus, come forth. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised others from the dead. Oh, but in what He going on and doing and going through, legally securing, He had the ability, He had the power, but His throne, amen, of His power and of His authority was vindicated. The perfect will of the Father that He accomplished. accomplished in his death and resurrection. We are declared just. The work of Christ is declared finished in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was raised for our justification. He's declared that his work was accomplished, declared that it's finished in that. And then God the Father raised him from the dead. He had the power to lay down his life and to take it up again.
Amen.
Oh, yes, he did. Our Heavenly Father, John chapter 10 tells us that. Go back and read that there in John 10 about what the Lord says there, that he had the authority, the power to lay down his life and to take it up again. And he was vindicated because Peter says in Acts chapter 2 that the Father, God the Father, raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God forevermore. Now, I have got to get this in back over here in Genesis. And we're moving around, but you hang in here with me. In Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. So many times we go to Genesis chapter 18 for this accounting of the Lord coming to Abraham's tent door and communing with him and Sarah laughing. But you know, before that happened, there was a time before that that's recorded and talked about in Genesis chapter 17 when the Lord appeared to Abraham and told him some things. And you can read this later in Genesis 17, but it also says that Abraham laughed. You know, most of the time we just hear it talked about Sarah laughing. But in chapter 17, the chapter before, when the Lord appeared to Abraham, it tells us that Abraham laughed. I just want to throw that in there. All right, but notice this. Here in chapter 17, and I want you to notice in the middle of verse 1, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Now what I want to call your attention to and zero in on right here, and I want to propose and set forth the question unto you, how powerful is God? Yeah. We've been talking about the Lord is powerful, that he is mighty. Well, just how powerful is God? I want to answer that question by telling you that he is omnipotent.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? That means that he has all power. It means that God is able. And in the very name of God that appears to Abraham right here, we have this teaching taught.
Right. Yeah.
We have this teaching taught. Now, not going back to try to give you a Hebrew lesson, but it is a good lesson. This name, Almighty God. Almighty Shaddai. God, El Shaddai.
Right.
When it says here that the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. He said to him, I am El Shaddai.
Yeah.
I want you to notice this word, El here. It denotes power.
Yeah.
That's what this word, El, meaning for the word translated God. That word in the Hebrew denotes power. It denotes force. And Shaddai, this word here, which means almighty. Almighty. All powerful. It also, this word Shaddai, means overpowering. Overpowering. So when the Lord appears unto Abram here, he says, I am all powerful and I am overpowering.
Yeah.
Boy, get that.
Yeah.
Amen. When he says, I am Almighty God, I am the God that is all powerful, I am the God that is overpowering. swim. It took El Shaddai, amen, to cause the iron to swim. It took El Shaddai, amen, to stand and to rebuke the wind that was blowing according to its natural course of nature, the storm that had arose. He overpowered. He over-subdued. Why? Because he is the creator. Creation cannot overpower the creator. Amen. Creation should not be worshipped, but the creator should be worshipped. And we should recognize and realize it's not man that's in power. It's not man that's in authority. But there's a God in heaven that sits on his throne of his glory that is all powerful. And as the centurion said, well, glory to God. I'm glad and thankful this morning for El Shaddai. Amen. The all-powerful God. The almighty God. The God that has all power. And if you'll go on to read in the 17th chapter, you'll read where God changes his name to Abraham.
Yeah.
We know that God changed Jacob's name to Israel. I'm talking about a overpowering God. Amen. That can change folks' name. Amen. That changes folks' name. Names mean something, don't they?
Yes,
and what God did, God overdued, God overpowered, God subdued the old nature of Jacob, which meant trickster and supplanter and all of that. Amen. And made him something different. When Isaac is conceived in 9 months according to life, is born and so forth, and Sarah around that of 90 years old, when God, the overpowering God, the almighty God, El Shaddai, when he reverses nature so that they can conceive and have this son.
Yeah. Amen.
I believe Sarah withered back. She only bore the one child. And I believe that's the way that it was to be, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Yes.
But don't you remember this? You look on forward a couple of decades, about 26, 27 years, when Brother Abraham gets on up around 130, give or take a little, Sarah has died and she's been buried. The Bible tells me, amen, that Abraham, he took another wife, and he listed 6 children that he fathered. That natural blessing of being able to father did not diminish from Abraham.
Yeah.
The flower faded once again for Sarah.
Yeah.
But it didn't fade. Amen for Abraham.
3 wives.
He listed that one that he took.
Yeah.
Amen. Later on, and 6 children are born. Amen. Around 30 years later, he lived what to be 175. Amen. So, amen. We can see the divine working of this almighty, all-powerful God. And let me say this in a way of closing this morning. Direct your attention to John chapter 17, verse 2, in that priestly prayer. And as our Lord was praying there to his Father on the night before he would go to the cross and do the work that was said before him, my precious friend, he says, as thou hast given him power, has given him.
Right.
Jesus is saying, Father, thou has given unto me the power, the force, the authority over all flesh. He's got the authority over all flesh. It's put in the Son's hand. And oh, thou has given him power over all flesh to give. To give, not offer. And this is where that force comes in. Is a gentleman. The Lord is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anyone. I want to tell you, if the Lord didn't force himself on you, you'd still be right where you were.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll amen that.
Yeah.
By his power, by his force, he came to you. You couldn't go to him. You were impotent.
Amen.
Well, you didn't have the ability. You couldn't get to him. Well, there was a great gulf. And I'm borrowing some words.
Amen.
But I tell you what, I'm just talking symbolically, but there's a great God, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't get to him. It took him getting to you. Oh, thank God God found Jacob in a waste island wilderness. Thank God forevermore. As I was giving him power over all flesh to give. Amen. To come with this force, with this overwhelming force, to rescue and to bring back. To bring his, amen, out of nature's darkness into that of the glorious kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you this morning is my prayer.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen. Appreciate you.